live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
A Christmas classic. Let's sing.
No place to go.
Monica ended last night. You can sing too.
No place to go.
You have to wait for those eight crazy nights to end to sing this.
No place to go.
And then, yep, we dance.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
It's 6:11.
Yes, I'm going.
Mike Jacobson back from his Mexican cartel vacation. Laundering money, meeting with the thugs that he's obviously involved with in his off hours. When last we left the story of Mike Jacobson, we found out he drank heavily at home, away from the office. How was your trip?
It was fantastic.
Where'd you go?
Playa del Carmen.
And it was one of those all-inclusive situations?
No, we actually rented a house right on the water. Probably about 20 yards off the water.
More
it was
handy for
amazing.
The cartel if they have a house. And you did what? You laid around on the beach and stuff?
We did that. We ATV'd. I ziplined. I did a tour of some Mayan ruins. We did lots of eating.
Tell them, what was the cave?
Swimming in some caves,
what's
which
it,
was fun.
Did you do
called?
Anything that was your idea?
No.
Drank. No, you watched a football game?
I did watch a football game, but it was the Packers game.
Oh.
Mike has a delightful girlfriend, but here's the problem. Not only is she delightful, she also is a planner. She is somebody who does publicity and public relations. So her entire day, her entire job is organizing and planning.
Yes.
When's the last time you made a decision?
Oof.
How long have you been together?
18 months?
Yeah.
So
probably
like
18 months ago?
Yeah,
probably so.
Mike and Audrey sent me a picture of the zip lining, which I would love to post, but I don't think I'm allowed to.
Really?
Come on, we want to see it.
I mean, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
What's wrong with the zip lining?
The zip lining looks very uncomfortable, is what I will say.
Oh, all right.
If you've ever gone zip lining and you are, I don't know, male, it's...
It is
the
tight.
Straps are not the most comfortable.
Yeah, the crotch hook.
And I am terrified, absolutely terrified of heights. So that was a big moment for me.
Whoa.
How do you feel
moment.
About the fact that we're moving to the 17th floor? Is that what it is, 17?
It's higher.
18? Yeah. 17, 18?
I'm not sure.
Are we going to have to get you there. A chair, like, away from the windows?
I would prefer that.
Yeah. Mike, what's that term called that when you guys were cave swimming?
Cenote.
I never heard of it.
That is Spanish for cave.
Oh, well, there you go.
I thought caving was spelunking or something.
Spelunking?
No, but you're swimming.
Yes,
well,
we
what's
were.
What's spelunking?
Hiking through a cave.
Climbing. Spelunking, yeah. Isn't it? It's
spelunking, yeah.
I don't know what's going on now.
Okay.
I'm confused.
Did you buy any souvenirs?
Yeah. Bunch for my niece. And
well, I don't care who they're for, but what did you buy?
Some maracas for my niece, who's two. And some other stuff. Nothing too exciting.
Okay. Have any problem getting through customs?
No problem.
Okay. Well, we're glad you're back. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, yeah. Wait, no problem. You were like delayed 6 hours yesterday.
Yeah, we were delayed for a while. It's kind of bad, but margaritas.
Was in the airport in Mexico for hours without Wi-Fi.
Why were you delayed for 6 hours?
Well, we had to get there early because one of Audrey's stepbrothers flew out early, and we all had to get out of the house at one time.
Oh,
so
I don't know. You had a whole family thing?
Yeah, it was five of us.
I thought it was just the two of you.
No, it was her dad, stepmom, two stepbrothers, stepbrother's fiance. So five of us in a awesome Airbnb.
Okay. Any announcement you want to make about anything?
It's glad to be back.
Anything go on during the trip that maybe would be, you know, reason to announce anything?
No. I don't know what you're getting at, Steve.
Are you trying to find out the progress?
We popped the question.
On the
dad
wall?
Was there.
No,
too.
I
just wanted to see if he popped the question.
The
I mean,
wall.
The dad was there.
No,
the
I
family
know.
Was there.
Uh-huh.
Don't you think it would be a good time to pop the question?
Maybe.
Anyone that knows me would know that I would never bring an expensive ring
to Mexico
in luggage that could potentially be lost.
Right.
Well,
no
what
way.
What you have in luggage? Put it in your pocket.
Oh.
But then you get
that's
the alarm off.
The ring alarm?
No. When you go through security at the metal detector, you get women have to take off. We have to take off our earrings or jewelry.
Mm. I don't know. There's a way to get this done.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, though, Steve.
No, you didn't. No disappointment to me. I just think the pressure is rising. Just a concern for you. That's all.
It's a little hot in here. I'm not going to lie.
That's what I'm talking about. 6:15, plenty in the top 6 and 6. We'll get to that. Traffic coming up right now. Mary Vandeveld, what do you got?
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Men.
At 6:19, item number 1. We did it. Yay. There was quite a little party. A Dorkapalooza yesterday afternoon as a bunch of politicians got together to celebrate the triumphant once-in-a-generation tax bill. Before you panic, you don't know if it's going to hurt you. Before you do the high-five thing, you don't know if it's going to help you. It looks like 90-95% of Americans will get more money in their paycheck, possibly as soon as February. Beyond that, there's a lot up for grabs, including whether or not your insurance premiums are going to go up with the Affordable Care mandate, the Obamacare mandate going away. In all likelihood, health insurance will cause more. They haven't done the math on that yet. Is it possible your insurance premiums will go up enough to negate the increase you'll have in take-home pay? We don't know. We don't know. We don't know. We do know this. We know that a bunch of people got around President Trump yesterday and told him he was super.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I missed something.
I thought so, too. I know.
It's spent a year criticizing the guy for legitimate reasons. Maybe I'm wrong. Because what I heard yesterday was, without your incredible leadership and your incredible presidential talent, we wouldn't be able to get up in the morning.
Right? It looked like a Saturday Night Live sketch with Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, everybody, Tim Scott.
I'm pretty sure Congressman Will Ferrell was making a special appearance.
And they're all behind him just nodding, and Pence, and they're all there.
Look, it's a big deal to get any legislation done. It's easier when you only need all the guys on your team, but even getting all the Republicans together to vote for something was impressive. So the quarterback gets too much credit when you win, too much criticism when you lose. Trump gets credit for getting something done before the clock runs out in 2017. Did he knowledge base it? Did he orchestrate it? Did he stay up late reading tax puffs? Of course he didn't. But he's the president, so he gets credit.
Although it is interesting, all the provisions in there for big corporations, how most of those will never expire. Those are permanent. I know nothing's permanent, but those for now are permanent, and the others expire in, 2025?
The sunset is the word they like to use. They don't like to say end.
End, correct.
Things will sunset.
Correct, yeah.
All right, so congratulations to the president, the greatest president ever, President Donald Trump.
You okay?
No, I'm just saying what Mike Pence said.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. All right, next. Meanwhile, Governor Rauner says the tax changes in the new tax bill will help his tax cut agenda in Illinois. When people went, what? We're still waiting for the answer to that question. Next. Federal monitors report a really persistent pattern in Cook County of Joe Berrios, the county assessor's office, of improper hiring, improper firing, improper staffing decisions, a resistance to change, to do the right thing. The pace of reform has been slow, and the assessor's commitment often very lax. You know, if you slow down enough, people move on. This is one of Trump's moves. This is one of the politicians' moves. This is a go-to move.
Right.
Oh, that. Oh, absolutely. Oh, you want to clean my room? Yes. Oh, absolutely. Well, mom's got other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, she's got to come back to remember to tell you to clean your room again.
This office has been a problem for years, and we all were on talking with Timeshare about our issues and our problems, and going in person and not having your assessment filed or your return filed for 3 years? Come on. Rauner and Chris Kennedy are asking Berrios to resign.
Well, they should. And I don't blame Tom Scher, because I think when Tom Scher was in here live this summer, he firmly believed he could deliver Berrios.
Right.
And I believe he believes that Berrios is trying to fix things. I believe that that he's been lied to. Mm-hmm. I don't blame Tom Scher. I blame Berrios.
Right.
But he's welcome to come in here and defend himself anytime. Is Mike Madigan coming in today? You know, Jake. Oh, seventh caller now is a big winner. You know, Jake, when you were out, Madigan didn't come in either. I just wanted to make sure you knew you didn't miss anything with the speaker not showing up, but he was invited. This is show number 1056 where Mike Madigan has not taken my invitation to come on.
I really thought it could have been the, you know, Christmas season.
Was he in Mexico with you?
It was weird. There was this one guy, you said his name was Matt Madigan, though. Looked like him.
Really?
Really weird, yeah.
Was he wandering around the beach stealing people's towels? Next. A terrible story out of Australia, overnight our time. An SUV plowed into a crowd in Australia. The driver was injured, at least 14 people, including a child, significantly injured. A deliberate act by police. They're not using the word terrorism yet. Nobody's claiming, I don't think, are they? Nobody's claiming credit for this?
No, they said he's a 32-year-old man, Australian man of Afghan descent, but he has a history, he has a long criminal record, history with drug abuse and mental health issues.
All right. So more details on that as they become available. And then there's this. Our long national nightmare is over. Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas have reunited. For those of you old enough to remember, Magic and Isaiah were the best of friends and the worst of enemies. They were the best of times, Andy.
And sometimes the worst of times.
And they have reunited now.
I'm just so thrilled.
Why have they reunited? And is Magic, as the boss of the Lakers, hiring him for something?
I would hope that for Magic's sake, no.
Reunited.
Yeah, you know, and it's so funny, I think there's a lot of Chicago Bulls from 1991 that are still waiting for Isaiah to shake their hand after they swept him in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, and he went and pouted.
And then he bankrupted the CBA.
And he was accused of sexual assault when he was with the Knicks.
Then he turned the Knicks into a laughingstock.
After the sexual assault.
Then he went to coach again in college, I believe at Florida International.
Yeah, he's a bit of a train wreck.
So I don't know why anybody would want to make up with him.
I ran into Isaiah Thomas like in the late 90s in the United Lounge at LaGuardia.
Hmm.
Just him and I hanging out. Couldn't have been nicer. We're just hanging out, talking about kids, talking about basketball. I showed him a couple of things.
Yeah.
But he was fine. He's a very charming guy in person.
Yeah. He seems like he would be.
Yeah, something happens when you know, when the cameras get around him or when the microphones get around him, he turns into a different human being.
But they've reunited. That's your official report, and you're standing by it?
Yes, I am standing by that. This just handed to me. They are still friends.
In one additional addendum of addition,
okay.
The Bulls won again?
Yes, Nico Mirotic is 7-0.
Wow.
The Bulls are 3-20.
Yep.
And now they've won seven straight.
Yep, 10-20 now is their record. They have a big matchup tonight against Cleveland, which we'll tell you a little bit more about how serious they are as far as
if they beat Cleveland, good. Just give them the title.
Yeah,
just give them the trophy.
I would
right
hand
now.
It to them right now. I don't think anybody else should even bother to show up.
It's just weird.
Cancel the rest of the year.
So which team are they? The 3-20 team or the 7-in-a-row team?
I think they're more the 3-20 team, to be honest with you. But they're just messing things up, though. I mean, they're actually winning when they're supposed to be losing.
It's quite something. And the Hawks are hot, and they will try to continue that tonight. What time is game time?
This would be a 7 pregame, 7:30 game time.
Okay. And you're here for Dave Ennett?
I'm here for Dave Ennett.
Who left in a huff yesterday? No, he's off for the balance now,
he
right?
He is, leading yeah.
He's done for the year. All he's right, done. 6:27, we'll come back. Big story coming up, and this is 720 WGN.
The ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen.
White Christmas, where's it rank in your all-time Christmas list?
Ooh, I would say top five for sure. Top five.
Yeah, top three. I think it's Montgomery Gentry, Christmas with the Family. Mom Got Drunk, Dad Got Drunk at the Christmas Party. White Christmas and Nat King Cole.
Oh.
The Christmas song.
You know what song I love, which I'm hearing a lot, is the Sarah McLachlan God Rest You Merry Gentlemen.
That's very nice.
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah. Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah. Pat Brady's here. Pat, do you have a favorite Christmas song?
No, but I would like to ban Mariah Carey, if that's possible.
You mean entirely or just that song?
Every time I turn on...
It's out of control.
It's out of control.
Yep. What am I hearing? Somebody on the air here? What am I hearing? Thank you very much. I don't know what that was. We got a little extraneous sound. Pat Brady, Matt Brawley's here. Do you know Matt? Have you met?
I just did. Yes. A fine young man. Looks prepared.
All right. As you know, if there's one thing that is good about the Trump presidency, is it's fired up a lot of people to get involved.
Sure.
And
unfortunately, for a Republican like me, they're Democrats.
Well, there's a lot of Republicans that are getting in as well.
Yeah. No, I
agree. Yeah. So, Matt, let's remind people who you are and why you're doing this.
Yeah, so Matt Brawley, I'm the mayor in Montgomery, and I'm running to be the congressman for the 14th Congressional District.
Against whom?
Against Randy Holcren.
Would you describe yourself as a moderate, as a Democrat? Where would you put yourself?
So I describe myself as a Democrat, but I'm an engineer. I'm a practical, level-headed voice of reason locally, and a lot of which we're not seeing nationally right now. So,
You have a family?
I certainly do. They're up listening this morning. So I actually took my kids up to McHenry County late last night. We were doing some caroling with the McHenry Democrats. So,
how nice is that? Well, that's great.
Yeah.
And say hi to the kids.
Hi, kids. How you doing?
Well, they have names.
Yeah, Beckham and Delilah. Mm-hmm. They know who I am. Yeah.
And say hi to your wife.
Yeah, she's up this morning. Rosa, thank you for helping this morning.
All right. So you wanted to do this because you want change. What type of change are you looking for?
So what we're looking for in the 14th is more of a rational, level-headed, actually coming to Montgomery, coming to the district, talking to voters, and then doing exactly what you say you're going to do out in Washington, D.C. I was looking at the town hall that Congressman Holcren did earlier this year where he promised not to vote for a bill that would allow insurance companies to discriminate based on pre-existing conditions. And then he went and voted for that bill. He also promised to work on a tax bill that would help the middle class. And then, of course, two, three, or four times, depending on how you count it, voted against that too.
So you're saying that you would like to be a politician who actually does what he says he's going to do?
Yeah, and that's what I've been doing.
You've
in Montgomery.
Got no
yeah.
future in this business.
it's been working out pretty good in my hometown. So,
Yes, and I think people would respond to that well. Now, the guy sitting to you right here, Pat Brady, has been a lifetime Republican, mm-hmm. Though his party affiliation has certainly been put into question this year, as he's been shoved to the sensible middle where I live. But Pat, what questions might you have for our friend Matt here?
Did you like the tax plan they voted on yesterday?
No.
How come?
It gives 83% of the cuts go to the top 1%. Folks like me in the middle and most of the residents of Montgomery or in the 14th district will not see more than a few pennies of that. You know, giving millions of dollars, let's say giving a tax cut to the chiropractor in downtown Montgomery isn't going to give me any more money to go visit him. It's also not going to give him enough to expand his business. So I think of the small businesses and engineering, architectural, law firms that were cut out of the deal as well. So,
but they got the pass through. They did. Small business did get a break. I think it was Senator Johnson from Wisconsin. Part of the bill was the pass through to help those kind of businesses.
Yeah, but those three entities weren't. I mean, I think the polling is pretty consistent that the general public is against the bill, widely unpopular. Without getting into the weeds on the specifics.
Well, you got to live in the weeds. Here's the thing. Pat and I disagree on this bill. Not disagree so much is that I'm waiting to be convinced. Pat, you're a fan of the bill, generally speaking.
Yeah, I think it's you get to keep more of what you earn, and I think it's a broad-based tax cut. It is, again, there is a corporate tax cut, but we need to be more competitive, and I like the repatriation of the assets that have been overseas. So I think it brings us in line with the rest of the world, so companies are competitive, and I think it's across-the-board tax cut. But let me ask you this. What would be different? What would you propose if you go to Congress? What would be a Democrat middle-class tax cut? What would that look like?
Well, it wouldn't include that provision for the private jets that's in there. Definitely wouldn't have
that. Yeah, but that one's easy. Which one? Talk about the stuff that actually works.
Yeah, so middle class, cutting taxes on the middle class, doing what we can do to raise wages. You know, we just cost ourselves $1.5 trillion. We didn't get health care. We didn't do an infrastructure plan. And we didn't invest in our schools. So, and we're already starting to talk about cuts to Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. And those are things that even the president said he won't do. But we've seen him, you know, time and time again.
He didn't tell the truth. He did something different. Oh.
Right?
You said that.
By the way, well, you ask your question because I got a question for Pat.
I have a question and then more of a statement / question as well. I just don't understand for either party how someone can get up there and say this is a successful bill when not one person of the other party voted to support the bill. So it's slashed down the middle again. So you continue the division. It's just this continuous vicious circle of party over country. And I wonder at some point if that's ever going to change. That's my statement / question. And how do you read every page of a 503-page bill?
Carefully.
Yeah. Or do you? I mean, realistically.
He's an engineer. He probably will read.
Right. You probably will. Yeah. You probably will, Matt. But realistically, I want to know if anyone, even an avid reader, could read 503 pages in 2 days.
That's one of the dirty, Pat, you can speak to this. It's one of the dirty little secrets of Washington. Staff generally reads a 30-page bill.
Sure.
And the congressman or congresswoman is given usually a 1 or 2-page summary of the bill. And it's the staff's job to make sure that the congressman or congresswoman doesn't step in it. I mean, how often do they read the entire bill?
Well, it's even worse in Springfield. They literally dump the entire budget. Madigan dumps it on the Republicans.
It says you got an hour.
You got an hour. We're voting in an hour. Mm-hmm. And it's not as extreme in D.C., but it's similar. I mean, I remember when Nancy Pelosi famously joked, we need to pass the bill so we can read and find out what's in it. Yeah. And that was Obamacare. So it's not.
But I think Andrea brings up an interesting point here. And Matt, you can speak to this as a candidate. At some point, one party or the other has to go America first, party second.
Absolutely.
Because if the Democrats win control going into next year, what's going to happen? They're going to use all the things. Hey, Republicans did it to us, and now we're going to jam everything down your throat. And then in 2 years, they're going to lose control, and it's going to bounce back. How are you going to be different as a Democrat, not just to vote everything Democratic when something on the Republican side makes sense?
Yeah, right. Definitely. And so I go back to what I've been doing in Montgomery, working with Democrats and Republicans to do things, to get things done. One thing that I was in Chicago a couple weeks ago for the Chicago Climate Charter. It was one of the 51 cities that signed on to that. And when President Obama addressed the group later that day, he said just that you're mayors. You have to get things done. And so we've had to come to a consensus with both sides, you know, locally in Montgomery, and just want to take that and do that nationally. Really stand up for the people in the 14th and not so much concerned for the future of my job.
If you were to go and you would find out over the course of 2 years you had to make difficult decisions that could cost you your job, but you really liked it was cool. You know, it got a nice office. It's cool to be a congressman.
I think they call that Potomac fever.
Yeah. Mm. How far are you willing to compromise?
You know what?
Your values, I'm talking about.
Yeah. I don't care so much about the job that I'm going to have, about retaining that job, as opposed to standing up for what I believe in and what the residents of the 14th really want.
So you're willing to be one and done if Washington is not what you hope it
could
be.
And I go back to Congressman Bill Foster actually cost him his job in this race, voting for Obamacare. And I would hope to be that lucky someday to stand up for what I believe in and vote for that.
There's 535? Votes that happened in Congress, and getting them all to agree on anything is difficult, but it's never been more partisan. I fully believe we need an influx of young, not idealists, but young people who believe in a cause, do their homework, and then go out and fight for it, but who are also willing to say, look, the other party's got a point here. Let's find a way in the middle. And if you're truly willing to do that, I think the public should absolutely hear you. Actually, if you're not willing to do that, they should still hear you. But for the sake of getting anything done, I think that's the only way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
How do people find out more about your campaign?
So you can go to my website, Brawley4Congress.com, and or I'm sure I'm on following this right now on Twitter and Facebook and that. So the only other thing I would mention is we had some polling done recently in this district. Actually, it wasn't from the campaign, but that shows, you know, Randy Holkerin won in this district with 59% of the vote last year. Last week, he was down to 47, had a 47 to 44 lead. And so the folks in this district are upset with the votes and the glad-handing that we're seeing, and are really going to be rallying around, and we're building this infrastructure for the eventual Democratic nominee, which I hope is me.
Are you unopposed?
No, like in a lot of races, there's 7 people that are running in this primary.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I think there's more Democrats running for Congress than there ever has been. So definitely a lot of energy, working hard every day. And I think that I will be successful on March 20th. Don't forget to vote.
Have you been out to I live out in St. Charles, so I'm not too far away. Mm-hmm. Have you been to Montgomery?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a great town.
Yeah, it is a great town. And again, what you just said is the absolute key. You have to vote in the primary before you can bitch about the general. Anybody that goes, oh, look at the candidates we're stuck with. The reason you're stuck with them is that you don't vote in March.
And it's never been easier to vote, too.
Been easier to do the research.
Absolutely.
Yes, and we're seeing so much energy for races like Congress. But we need people to run for county board, right, for precinct committee men and women. I mean, building the party, you know, especially in the western suburbs, which has generally been, over the last 100 years, a little bit more Republican.
Since the Civil War.
Yeah. And and so it's trending more so it's an evenly split. And people, when we're knocking on doors, are saying, like, I didn't know there was Democrats in this neighborhood. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you're a Democrat, your neighbor's a Democrat. And so get out, talk to your neighbors, and do some good work.
Last question. How do you feel about the leadership in Congress? Because Mr. Schumer and Ms. Pelosi have been there a long time.
Yeah. I haven't really had a chance really to think about that too much. You know, I'm trying to focus on this. Once I get there, I'll focus on, you know, what I would do, what my vote would be for a speaker and that. But reality is, we're seeing this groundswell of young, energetic, hardworking, good thinkers that want to run for office. And so it's going to be an interesting 2018. I think we can all agree.
Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to show the older members how to turn their computers on? Oh, wait, they have staff for that.
I've been showing them AirDrop on my iPhone. So.
Hey, you know what? Cool. I'm going to say, I'm on the other side on this. I obviously support Randy, but thanks for doing this, because I've seen people run, and it's very difficult. And as fun as it is to go up to McHenry County and go caroling with your kids, you may have had something else you want to do that night. And it is a ton of work. And people that actually step up to the plate and get into the arena, like TR used to say, deserve a lot of credit, because it's hard work.
I totally agree. And it's your family deserves a tremendous amount of credit. For your wife to sign off on this, or for the husbands of women who are doing this, it's the same deal. It's a big family commitment.
Yep. Yeah, and it's not like they show it in the movies, you know, with all victories and that. It is working.
Hey, we're going to D.C.
Yeah.
It's working hard every day, keeping your head down, making the calls, talking to voters.
People,
you know, learning
yelling
things
at you.
Yeah, exactly.
I was out door to door two weekends ago walking, and it's amazing the comments you get back, and people are very angry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can take this up more next hour, but of course, one of the primary rules problems we have here is you have to declare a party and pick a ballot.
Yeah, I love seeing open primary. I think that would solve a lot of problems.
Open primary would be a big deal, and it would be one of the walls that prevents a third party, a legitimate third party, from starting. But you can declare any party.
Mm-hmm.
You can say you're a Republican, you can say you're a Democrat. The important thing is to do the research and go through it to the best of your ability. Pick candidates you're willing to support.
Particularly, you make a great point. If you want a party build, you got to start at the precinct level, and you have to start at the mayor level, and that's where the candidate like you come from. They mm-hmm. don't just all of a sudden pop on the scene unless you can write a check for $400 million. You really generally have to come through the farm system.
And I can write that. I have a check. I can write that, but I certainly won't don't cash that because it won't go anywhere. But
I gave Mark Spells a $100 million check before he left.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Which he's still trying to get cashed.
There are more Democrats running for PC in McHenry County, I think, than they ever have had. You know, and that's a pretty red area. And so
Jack Franks has done well out there, though. But yeah. He's been that kind of Democrat that gets along and gets things done.
Yeah, getting things done.
Matt, I always enjoy talking to you. I think you are one of the symbolic pieces of a new generation of politician. I wish you nothing but success, and we'll continue to badger you to come on the show and talk.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, everybody, have a great holiday. Thanks
for being on. Best of your family.
Bells will be ringing this sad, sad news.
Maybe top three for me. I may change.
Choirs will be singing silent night. Christmas carol by candlelight. Please come home for Christmas. Please come home for Christmas. If not
for Christmas by New Year's night.
I'd much rather listen to this than me. But we got to move on. 657, almost 658 now. It's RaleighForCongress.com. If you're interested, BROLLEY, the number 4Congress.com. Pat Brady's here, and Peter Roskam is one of the people that helped write this tax bill, right?
Yep, front and center.
All right, let's ask him about it. And after the news at 7, which is coming up on 720 WGN.
It's the time of year to be.
Steve Cochran Show.
This has been a year of extraordinary accomplishment for the Trump administration.
President Donald Trump is a man of his word. He's a man of action. Thank you for your boundless faith in the American people.
Thank you, President Trump, for allowing us to have you as our president and to make America great again.
This president hasn't even been in office for a year. You're living up to everything I thought you would.
When did you know tax reform could be achieved in America for the first time in 31 years? My answer is always the same. November 8th, when President Trump, you were elected President of the United States.
We would not be standing here today if it wasn't for you.
Could not have been done without exquisite presidential leadership. Mr. President, thank you for getting us over the finish line.
You're simply the best.
Wow. I mean, I threw up in my mouth a little bit. I was just watching it. President Trump should get credit for a legislative win. Presidents do. Too much credit, too much blame. But good God, do they all owe him money? Settle down. How'd that make you feel, Pat Brady?
Hey, I like the tax bill.
Well, say something nice about President Trump then. Everybody else is.
I'm going to. He, you know what? And nobody banged on that guy for the last 2 years more than I have, but this is a big success. This is a big reform of our tax code. You're going to get to keep more of what you earn, and so you got to give them credit.
Well, I don't have to. I choose to.
Well, to be fair, and I know you're a fair-minded guy.
Not so much.
We need to do that because we got to call balls and strikes, not always.
Well, I believe that's what happens here every day.
I agree.
And President Trump deserves credit because he's the guy in charge. It's just the lack of decorum and control and self-control. Let's be honest here before we pick up the phone with Congressman Roskam. Those who are bending over so far are deeply concerned about the effect of President Trump's base on their own primaries.
Sure, but that's a political calculation they have to make, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You got to remember, 8 years ago, they gave President Obama the Nobel Peace Prize, and he hadn't even been in office yet, basically.
You're just trying to get me to say those things about you.
No, it goes, and I don't have any problem with that. He's the president of the United States, like you said. He probably gets more credit he deserves and more blame he deserves, as every president does.
Congressman Peter Roskam, standing by, joins us now. He's one of the people that helped write the bill. What does that mean exactly? Are you in the room from the beginning?
Steve and Pat, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, sure.
Look, this has been a long time coming. 5 years ago, a guy who was chairman of the Ways and Means Committee named Dave Camp did a really good job of laying out a tax reform plan and putting it together. And that has been built on. And I think over a period of time, there's been a lot of work. Now, the work has reached the point of urgency because there's a president in office who would sign the bill that we would get to his desk. And I think now it's coming to fruition. And the bottom line is, I mean, yesterday AT&T announced they're going to invest an additional $1 billion in the U.S. economy, and they're giving a $1,000 bonus based on tax return to something like 100,000 employees. Comcast said that they're going to give a $1,000 bonus to all of their non-executive and frontline employees.
You know, Congressman, first off, congratulations, and I appreciate your honesty as far as having a president to sign the bill. That's all good. Here's what we know to be true. The Republican high fives are way too many, and the Democrats screaming that this is the end of the world is absolutely ridiculous. The truth is somewhere in the middle. Sure. The truth is always in the middle, and we don't know the ultimate impact of this thing and where it goes. So let's talk about some basics here. How did you guys define middle class?
So middle class is sort of in the eyes of the beholder. It's amazing. If you poll and you ask that question, most people perceive themselves in the middle class. You got folks out in Barrington who are pretty prosperous who will describe themselves as middle class.
Yeah, but how did you guys
do is under like basically, so Steve, in other words, what we tried to do was say, yeah, get middle class tax or middle income, as I describe it, middle income tax relief. And that's what is actually in this bill. So at every rate, on average, there's tax relief. And there's a lot of tax relief.
Yeah, but hold on, Congressman. Whoa. Take a breath. With all due respect, you know me well enough to know that I'm going to keep asking the same question until I get some form of an answer. So middle class, when you put this together, you have to have some definition of middle class so that you can claim middle class tax relief. And I'm not saying you didn't do it. This could be a huge win for middle class. But when you sit down in the room and say, here are the definition of middle class, we want to make sure that people make between this and this really get benefit. What are those numbers?
So here's the point. It varies across the country. In some districts, you're in southeastern Missouri, in a very modest district, that's $60,000. You're in my 6th congressional district, husband and wife, two children, median income is $135,000. So it really varies based on the geography, even within a state.
That's fair.
Hey, Congressman, I know you're a guy that's in your district a lot and very much in tune with your constituents, and I'm proud to be one. What's the reaction been so far as you went through this process over the last couple of years?
So what's interesting is, I mean, to Steve's point, folks are saying, okay, what does this really mean to me? And there's been a lot of discussion about various deductions, what's staying, what's going, and there's been a lot of versions of this. So I think most people are saying, okay, show me how this works and show me the bottom line. So it's very much, in my discussions, particularly as this has intensified over the past couple of months, people are telling me, look, I'm interested in tax relief. I don't really care about the equation by which I get tax relief. I just want tax relief. And our situation is in a context of the Illinois state tax hike that went through in July that just hit everybody, regardless of, you know, we don't have a progressive income tax in Illinois, obviously, and it hit everybody up and down the line. And so there's a real wariness about the change in tax policy and sort of welcome relief at the idea that this actually does what it purports to do.
Congressman, I'm going to ask a question that I asked a Democratic candidate for Congress earlier this morning. How can it be considered a successful bill for either party if not one person on the other side voted for it? I mean, it just seems a little hypocritical for everyone to stand up there and be clapping on a bill that not one person on the other side voted for.
Well, I will stipulate that it would be better to have a bipartisan bill. And the reason it's better to have a bipartisan bill is it creates a more settled environment. Now, the challenge here is that we made a decision at the very beginning of this process to chase growth in the economy and to make that a real priority. And the type of growth that brings money back and creates new investment in the U.S. And our counterparts, some of them personally told me, if Donald Trump is for this, I have to be against it. That's their politics locally. Well, you know, you can't deal with that hardly. So they've made a calculus, and it's their prerogative that they chose to step back from it. But that's the calculus that they've made, and that's where we are. But I agree with you. We would be much better off if you had a bipartisan bill.
Well, the Democrats are just as guilty of this as the Republicans. There's got to be, at some point, one party or the other in power has to say, enough. This country is ripped down the middle, and until we decide that we're going to work together and we're the party in power and we're going to invite the other side in, then nothing's going to change. And I had hoped the Republicans were going to do that. And on the infrastructure bill, which should be next, you're going to have an opportunity to do that. So will the punishment continue or will Democrats be invited?
Yeah, they absolutely will. And here's the other point, though. There are many times when there is bipartisan activity working on some changes in Medicare. I worked with the Obama administration on some things as it relates to civil asset forfeiture. I was personally involved and know where Nancy Pelosi and John Boehner were working closely behind the scenes on things and then ultimately came together and 350 members of the House voted on a bipartisan basis on controversial things regarding education. But the problem is, it doesn't get reported. It doesn't get talked about. And the reason it doesn't get reported and the reason it doesn't get talked about is because it doesn't involve conflict and it doesn't involve people snarling at one another.
No, I disagree with that. That's completely unfair, and you're headed down the fake news highway, which you don't talk. Hold on. My show, I talk first.
I know, okay.
Stand by.
Steve, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about so when a bipartisan group comes together, when President Obama was in office, House Republicans worked for 2 years on a controversial policy to update the No Child Left Behind law, which was a law that didn't work out well in terms of education. The everybody came together, and it involved kids, money, federal mandates, all controversial things. Big signing ceremony that it just wasn't talked about. And I hear this with some frequency.
I remember, Congressman, I remember those stories being covered. Here's the larger problem. All of us who are covered in any great detail look for the negative before we look for the positive. And the fact is, the major legitimate news organizations, they have no incentive to sit in a closed room and say, how can we screw these guys next? And it's an absolute outrage. And I'm not saying you're doing this, but you know your party's doing this, and you know your president's doing this. CNN, Time Magazine, the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, the LA Times, you know, major television stations, Channel 9, this radio station, there are ethics involved. The same, we have an ethical code the same way you guys supposedly have an ethical code. So the idea that we sit around and go, well, let's see how we can screw the fine Congress next is ridiculous.
No, that's not what I'm obviously not saying that. The point that I'm making is the types of things where people work together, Steve, it doesn't draw the attention as when there is conflict. So I think that we just need to speak to that. And it's far more encouraging. I've said this publicly. I said, look, I wish more Americans could see some of the interactions that are happening where things are getting done. I got every member of the Ways and Means Committee on both sides of the aisle to vote with me to rescind authority from the Internal Revenue Service. I got every Democrat in the House to agree with me and support that bill moving out of the House of Representatives. So the notion that people aren't working together is not accurate based on my experience.
Before we run out of time, because I want to make sure people understand what I believe the potential good news is here. So tick off a few. There's the stuff that you believe, you're in the room, you believe is really going to bear fruit here and be very beneficial to Americans and most Americans.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is people are going to be seeing real tax relief in two forms. The first is they're going to have relief in the forms of the withholding of their paycheck. Those withholding tables are going to change beginning in 2018. They're also going to be finding that they're just going to be paying less tax money. And that's particularly true for us. And then on the business side, business environment is going to be changing, and changing for the good. The money that has been locked out, there's between $3 and $4 trillion that's been locked out outside of the United States based on our current tax code. That is now able to come back. And we've already seen really welcome news from very large employers in the United States that said, we're reinvesting here. We're giving our employees bonuses, and I think it's the foundation for good things in 2018.
Going forward, we know that anybody that's fair and takes a look at it knows that Medicare and Social Security have to be adjusted. Not cut, but adjusted. The rate of increase has to be adjusted. And Paul Ryan has addressed it. Will that be part of this to help pay for it?
Yeah, I think so. And the first place to start is simply on the fraudulent nature of a number of these claims. And these are, when I talk about Medicare fraud, I'm talking about rings of online criminals that manipulate payment codes and get payments in the billions of dollars. I chaired a hearing that brought in the person who's in charge of Medicare fraud. This is during the Obama administration, which I was working with to fix this problem. I asked him a very simple question. What's your fraud rate? Fraud and erroneous payments. And he said, 12.7%. Well, if you just do a quick back of the envelope calculus on what 12.7% is in Medicare, it's over $1 billion a week. So that's an admission by Medicare that money is going out the door fraudulently and erroneously. So that's the first place to start. And we've made some progress, again, on a bipartisan basis, but we got a lot of work to do on that.
Is there a fraud division within Medicare, or who takes care of that problem?
Yeah, there is.
Are they properly funded?
Yeah, it's not a matter of funding. I would argue that it's a matter of attitude. I took the entire subcommittee that I chaired at the time up to their Baltimore office, and they can give you sort of a horse and pony show about what they're doing. The bottom line is the private sector is nailing this stuff. So the private sector, we brought in the person who's in charge of fighting fraud at Visa, the credit card company, asked him the same question. What's your fraud rate? He said, Congressman, our fraud rate on $10 trillion that goes on the Visa system globally on an annual basis, our fraud rate is 0.06%.
Yeah.
So the delta of these two things. Yeah. And so they've got predictive modeling. They've got much more sophisticated software. And it's not as if Medicare is underfunded, because it's not by definition. They've got $1 billion that's going out the door. The problem is that they know the money will always show up. By definition, well, they got, it's an entitlement program.
The same thing we expect of you guys. They got to be better at their job. That's it. And that's a story. That's a story that fully deserves more reporting. Last two questions. CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Program, and the DREAM Act. When are they going to be dealt with, passed or turned down?
CHIP will get dealt with promptly. I mean, I think within the next day or two. It's completely unacceptable that anybody would fall by the wayside. I predict that doesn't happen, and it's dealt with, within the next couple of days. Dreamers are going to be probably something that gets dealt with, in my view, in the early part of 2018. I would predict the first quarter.
I appreciate your time. Do you have your reelection website up yet?
RoscomForCongress.com. Thanks for asking.
F-O-R or the number four?
F-O-R.
RoscomForCongress.com. All right, man, I appreciate you for coming on.
Thanks, Steve.
Merry Christmas. See you later. 7:25. Happy birthday to Abigail Elizabeth. She turns 24 today, and her mom said she's a great teacher and a wonderful daughter and wanted us to say hi and happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And anybody named Abigail is a winner with me. Let's talk just briefly with Eric Edelstein, who just joined us as well. Eric, the name of your company is what?
AL Media.
And Pat Brady, your business?
Next Generation Strategies.
Eric, you just walked into the room in the middle of the conversation with Congressman Roskam. General thoughts yesterday on the tax bill.
Well, I think that here's the problem, and I'll try not to have my rhetoric be too heated, but economists on both sides, not partisan economists, have said that if you look at the entirety of the package, 83% of the tax cuts, 83% go to the top 1% of wealth in this country. Now, that's fine, but I think the Republicans, that's their philosophy. They ought to embrace it instead of pretending this is a middle-class tax cut. It's not. It's going to hurt middle-class people. Now, what I'm saying is we ought to have an honest debate and say we believe in this trickle-down philosophy that failed in the 80s, that failed in the Bush administration, that a Nobel Prize-winning economists say increases wealth for the wealthy does not increase productivity. And what we're seeing in this tax bill, in a moment when maybe since the Gilded Age we have not had worse wealth inequality, is now federal policy that exacerbates that inequality. And my problem with it isn't just that it's bad economics. I think it's corrosive to the country at a moment when people feel the system is rigged. We now have a tax bill that's been passed by a president who said he was going to fight for middle-class people, that basically is a bailout for corporate America, that gives increased wealth to the wealthiest. And here's the most insidious thing. To balance this thing, the middle class parts of it expire in 2027, but the corporate parts don't. Look, the bottom line here is this president ran around and he said, we're going to crack down on those Wall Street barons, the ones who get the carried interest, who don't pay an income tax rate the same as secretaries. Guess what? They didn't do anything about the carried interest. They gave more away to corporate America. And my problem is not that's their philosophy. My problem is that they're trying to hide behind this being somehow good for middle-class people when, again, the balanced analysis says the 83% of the benefit go to the top 1%.
So you're a fan?
I love it. Love the bill.
Pat, I'll give you a chance to answer that in a second. First, let's come back and get the big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Any attempt by this president to remove Special Counsel Mueller from his position
or to pardon key witnesses in any effort to shield them from accountability or shut down the investigation would be a gross abuse of power and a flagrant violation of executive branch responsibilities and authorities. In recent days, the president has said he is not considering removing Special Counsel Mueller. But the president's track record is a source of concern. I'm certain that most of my colleagues believe that he wouldn't fire Jim Comey either.
Well, I take that up, which is an extremely important issue, which unbelievably is the number one story in the year of the Trump. Pat Brady's here. I know you're a fan of the tax bill, generally speaking. I don't know that you're high-fiving everyone the way the Republicans were on the White House lawn yesterday, but give me what you like about it.
I like the fact that you're going to get to keep more of what you earn. I like the fact that they made the corporate playing field internationally more competitive for United States businesses. And I like that everybody's going to, the government's not going to have so much control of the money you earn. It's a pretty simple calculation. I've read all the analysis too, and there's a different sides say different things, and we'll wait and see what happens politically in November. But they have, the Republicans delivered a significant reform to our tax code, which I think in the long term will benefit the United States economy, which in the long term benefits the middle class. And there is a middle class tax cut here. If you're making 70 grand a year, family of four, you're going to get $2,000 back this year, and it's going to be in your paycheck as soon as February. And I know the Democrats talk trickle down and all this stuff, but the tax reforms that happened in the 80s, we had almost 25 years of uninterrupted economic growth, one of the greatest economic booms in this country's history. So it's just a different governing philosophy. Republicans believe that people know what to do with their money, and Democrats think they know better. So we'll see what happens politically in November.
Here's where I'm living. The Democrats are way too panicked, and the Republicans are way too happy. Let's see what happens. Before the panic and the happy kicks in.
I think what's troubling to me is there was really not an attempt by Republicans to say, let's put a bipartisan tax reform bill. I think Democrats agree there should be tax reform. And I guess my issue with it,
let me ask you this, because we covered this a little bit before you came in.
Sure.
Let's say the Democrats win back the House and the Senate. Mm-hmm. Are they then going to be the grown-ups that say, listen, regardless of what happened to us with Trump, regardless of what we did to you with Obama, this time we're going to work with the other side? Or is it going to continue to be those in power, jam it down the throats of those not in power? Because at some point, one party or the other's got to blink.
I agree. I mean, I hope that's the case. I can't sit here and tell you.
No, you're in charge.
It will be. But look, it's not sustainable. Our democracy is not sustainable if we continue down this path where everybody's just fighting with everybody else and the American people don't have faith in their institutions. And I think what's interesting is on this tax bill, 2/3 of Americans, by some estimates, don't like this. They see it for what it is. And I think Republicans would have done themselves more of a favor if they had tried to not hide behind this is somehow putting more money in everybody's pocket, when every analysis says by having middle class tax cuts expire and corporate tax cuts be built in, it's not a fair bill, and it's not across the board.
Here's the thing. If the Democrats do get control, they had control for 8 years and never proposed any kind of middle class tax relief, ever. This is the first middle class tax relief we've had in a long, long time. So, and I'm not aiming this at Eric, but the reality is they have never proposed it. Their governing philosophy is just different than ours, and they believe that the government knows best and the government should dictate where your money goes. And so, that's going to be the argument, the political argument in November.
How will it affect Illinois residents? I know Ronner came out in the Tribune this morning saying that it would boost his call for freezing property taxes and rolling back.
I think in a kind of a bank shot way, it's going to have a big impact on this election, because I do believe one of the big issues is going to be our outrageous property taxes we pay in this state. And we're not going to get that deduction anymore. And J.B. Pritzker and the Democrats, all of them, they're going to raise your taxes. And they are going to have a tough time defending the property tax system in this state. And it's going to be a big issue front and center. And I think this tax bill just even put it more front and center.
What is Chris Kennedy saying about the property tax situation?
Well, his argument has been it's a racket right now that needs to be addressed, that we fund schools out of property taxes, which is inequitable. It's probably a violation of the Civil Rights Act. If you look at poor and middle class communities, they're paying more in taxes and getting less for their schools. And I think this federal tax bill only exacerbates that kind of inequality, and it's a big part of Kennedy's campaign. He's going to continue talking about it.
bipartisan. Give Chris Kennedy a lot of credit for this, because he has been the only one standing up, other than the governor, screaming and yelling about the system. And he's had the best plan, been the most vocal about it. And J.B. Pritzker has not said a word. And anybody that lives and works up here knows exactly what this system is all about.
I do think Pat's right from the standpoint of there are winners and losers in states under this tax bill. And Illinois is a loser. And any states that have higher state and local property, state and local taxes get punished under this bill. And I think Illinois is going to face severe consequences, and
Illinois,
people are going to feel it.
California, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, right. All the high property tax states.
Which raises the fundamental question, why are our property taxes so high?
And it also shows that it is a flawed piece of legislation on this basic point, because if you're asking the residents of Illinois and those other states to find several thousand dollars at Christmas time, because the only way they can fight this new legislation is to pay next year's property taxes in advance right now.
Right.
That's insane.
Right. I got that email from my accountant, right, saying, oh, would you like to pay your 2018 property taxes now? Like, no, thank you, though. Thanks for asking.
Well, the thing is, when you run the math, you go, well, this makes sense. But I'm going, hold on a second. I have to job the system that's supposed to benefit me?
Right.
That ain't right.
Yeah, but the biggest jobber of the system was J.B. Pritzker. He got $250,000 for ripping his toilets out of his second mansion.
That's
the kind of nonsense that I give, again, Chris Kennedy a lot of credit for talking about this.
J.B. Pritzker should be paying all of our property taxes. That is my new position.
I second that.
7:48. Pritzker's invited on the show as well, and Madigan didn't show up again. I guess we covered that. All right, we got to get to this Robert Mueller story, because it's ridiculous. The idea that you would throw out the special prosecutor, the guy who you could, I'll get to it in a second. 7:49. Robert Mueller is a guy who was lauded by both sides when he was appointed to investigate a situation that the President of the United States could end very quickly if he would simply say, I said I'm not guilty. Do anything you want. I'll tell you everything. Take a look. But now we've got Republicans, some sort of rogue committee led by the California Congressman Devin Nunes, and this prized Jim Jordan from Texas, who are saying that Mueller's a creep. The FBI is polluted. The FBI is out to get this fine president. It's an outrage. Let the man do his job, and if Trump's innocent, then the chips fall.
Well, you're looking at me, but I'm not talking until I get a pajamagram.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? That seems fair. This is a very dangerous road to go down.
Yeah, it was really dangerous, I thought, last week when the president was giving one of his impromptu press conferences, and he basically trashed the FBI, saying we need to rebuild the FBI, which is an insult to all the people
on his way to the FBI,
putting their lives on the line every day and to protect the citizens of this country. It's the finest law enforcement agency in the world. On the attacks on the investigation, my view as a former Fed, when they're attacking the process and not the substance, you never hear denials of the substance. And the substance for them on the quote-unquote collusion, which is not a crime, every day gets worse. There was a lot more contact between the Trump folks than they initially admitted up to. But to me, the most damning piece of information in the last week or so was that the FBI actually had a briefing with them in July and said the Russians are trying to do this, as they did with the Clinton campaign.
Right.
And to me, that puts you on notice. And you can't make this argument, we're just new to the game, we're outsiders, we don't live in the swamp. They were on notice that this was happening, and they continued to have these meetings. So it is problematic, and the president can't fire Mueller. And if he tries to do it like Nixon did in the 70s, I think even Republicans would stand up and say enough's enough.
Sorry, your mic's off.
Pat, as a former prosecutor, where do you think Mueller's going with this, as if you could read between the lines?
You know, it's tough because they've been good in keeping the leaks to a minimum. I don't know. I do think that I do think the end result of this is going to be some more people get indicted, there'll be some more pleas, and there will just be a very long report given to Congress. I don't think he'll ever get to the point of indicting the President of the United States. It's not even clear legally if you can do it. It was briefed and argued in the Nixon era, but it was not ruled upon.
So whether he can be indicted.
Whether he can, a president can actually be indicted.
But do you think there's obstruction of justice in the...
I've said all along, firing Comey and the statements made in and around that, to me, meet the legal elements of obstruction. And plus, now we're getting statements about conversations that were occurring contemporaneously. And that you have to do this with corrupt intent. You can't just be an idiot and fire Comey. You have to do it with an intent to do something.
You know, I was with someone in the real estate business a couple weeks ago was telling me that Kushner, and I don't, not to get into the weeds, there's a huge property in Manhattan.
Yeah, 666.
Yeah.
That
Deutsche Bank, where they subpoenaed all these records, holds the note on several $1 billion that mm-hmm. are
could bankrupt the Kushner family.
Comes due in 2019.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So there's this sort of Damocles, in a way, over their head now with this federal investigation that obviously we haven't seen every chapter played.
I've always said this for 15 months now, that the tax offenses that are potentially there, because I guarantee you that Mueller's got everybody's tax returns. And I know the president's been audited for 15 years, but an audit is a different thing than a criminal investigation.
So he could subpoena the president's tax records.
I'm sure he's
records
got all that. They did the Deutsche Bank. And the Deutsche Bank, when that came up a couple weeks ago, and the bank basically can't say anything. By law, they can't say anything. When you get a subpoena in a financial case, you're not supposed to talk about
it. If you go backwards here, and you should, Trump has never been able to criticize Russia. Again, just basic human behavior here. If you're innocent of something, then say, look anywhere you want because I know the truth and I'm innocent. He praised Comey. You could make a very legitimate argument that he won the presidency because 10 days prior to the election, Comey stood up in reaction to his first press conference. Whether or not it was right or wrong for Comey to do it, there you could make a very good argument that Comey helped get Trump elected. He then fires Comey. Mueller comes in, and if he fires Mueller or makes an attempt to fire Mueller, how could it be read as anything other than
it's
obstruction?
It's just another act in furtherance of obstruction, I think. Yeah.
And so the ultimate question here is, if that all goes down that way, and he, by the way, says he's not going to do it. His lawyer says he's not going to do it. The Democrats are speaking about it, I think, are trying to hedge their bets. And obviously, a lot of fine work's getting done in the process, and all this isn't mucking up the works. But if this goes down that way, are there enough Republicans who would say enough is enough and would join the Democrats to say we're moving forward to remove this guy from office?
Sure. I've heard him say publicly they would.
Okay.
I've heard some high-ranking ones say publicly that he cannot do this. That would be – they haven't gone as far as say we're going to initiate impeachment proceedings, but that they have said that would be problematic. I think impeachment, the word gets thrown out, and I hope people realize what that means. That means it'll cream our economy. It's going to be a bad 18 months. We don't want an impeachment. I don't like the guy either. I can't stand him. I think he's a goof. He's bad for the party. He's been a terrible president, in my opinion. But impeachment is not something we want to do.
I mean, I agree with you. I think any Democrat who sits around says, I wish we could impeach the guy.
No, it's idiotic.
Nobody wants impeachment. You know, it's not something that's good for America, good for democracy. What we want is to get to the bottom of this Mueller investigation and see if crimes were committed, and then people should be punished.
I think Trump's big issue with this, too, is I think he's used to dealing with New Jersey gaming regulators where I can go down there and I go, oh, hey, come on, buddy, let's go to my casino, and this is the way it's going to be. He's dealing with the FBI, and he's dealing with Bob Mueller, who is the most accomplished prosecutor in the history of this country.
The three or four legitimate biographies that have been written about him say exactly that. He has the same moves he's been doing since he was 30 years old. The stuff he was taught by Joseph McCarthy's henchman, Roy Cohn, about how to do it. You criticize him, he punches you personally. He tries to get information about your personal life. He tries to diminish you and your credibility. It's the same act he was doing in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s. It's what he was doing on The Apprentice, for crying out loud.
But can you imagine any other president thinking, somebody that's been elected to be our commander-in-chief, telling the FBI director, I expect loyalty?
No.
Just a fundamental lack of understanding.
I mean, even Nixon was more underhanded.
Made somebody else say it.
Yeah.
Go tell him I want loyalty.
Yeah. It's nice to see both of you. Merry Christmas to you, Pat. And you and the family going to get away for a few days?
Yes, we are going to the Grand Caymans tomorrow. And like I said,
that's good. Don't go to the mediocre Caymans. Nice. Go to the Grand Caymans.
Well, I'm the king of cheap vacations. I booked this thing in June, and I don't let them eat much.
Yeah,
it's one. One meal a day.
And this is your present.
And Eric, your post-holiday celebration is when?
My mother is having a big birthday. I won't say what it is.
And 50
whole family,
already.
50 years old. And my whole family is getting together. And we are going to Cabo San Lucas for a few days in Mexico.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. I think you guys know this, but I'll say it out loud. I very much appreciate you guys doing this on a weekly basis and the contribution you make. And I think the audience, by their texts that we constantly get, Appreciate the fact that you don't scream at each other. I do most of the screaming, and that you guys actually educate some folks in the process. So thank you for that.
Where's my pajama, grand buddy?
We're working on it.
Okay.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
And to your family. It's 801. Pat doesn't let the kids eat. It's too expensive. It's 801. We'll come back with the news on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Bop, 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 bop.
Yeah, Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9. You know, Dean, it occurred to me. You know, stuff occurs to me.
I thought you just called me Dave.
No, Dean. I've been calling you Dave would be factually inaccurate.
That's true. I must have misheard you.
That would be fake entertainment.
Media.
But it occurred to me, tomorrow's my last show of the year, and it occurred to me that I won't probably see you in person. So here's a hug for the holidays.
Oh,
come on, get over here.
Thanks. Hey, watch your hands.
Merry Christmas! I'll let you know when I'm done. Merry Christmas.
Are you patting my back? What are you?
Yes, that's what I was doing. Right between your shoulder blades.
Steve likes to give the traditional Christmas Heimlich maneuver to everyone that he runs into.
Are you doing anything special for Christmas itself?
All my family's here, so I can't wait.
And are you working next week? Because I am going to be on the channel. I'm not on the radio next week, but I'm going to be on the Channel 9 morning news next week. And I thought you might be hosting that.
They told me that yesterday. What day are you going to be on?
I think it's Wednesday.
I believe I will be here.
Wait, you're not going to be here, but you're going to be there?
No, I want to see if I can get booked. Mike, are you working next week? I don't know who's working next week.
I'm off. We're all off, I think.
Okay, I don't know who's producing.
I'm off two of the days.
I don't know who's producing this show next Wednesday, but I wanted to see if I could get booked on the show with Pete.
Joe Romano.
All right, so see if Joe could book me.
Are you sending him to another producer?
You want to get booked on your own show with Pete.
You want to get booked on your own show, and then when you talk to your producer, he shuffles you off to another producer.
He goes, listen. It's vacation, chump. Talk to Joe.
I don't like your chances of getting on.
I'll put in a good word for you.
Doesn't sound good.
I don't want to say anything, but I am here at my appointed post all next week.
Yeah, well, someone's got to do it, man.
I take my responsibilities here very seriously.
Dean, I'm here two of the days, so I take it about half responsibility.
You take about like 60%.
Yes.
By the way, the reason I will be on Channel 9 is because of...
Good thing you're not plugging anything, like an event or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Is because the Fine People at American Weathermakers have sponsored the New Year's Eve show.
Oh.
And New Year's Eve, your own Mike Toomey
from
Channel 9. Very, very funny,
very
funny guy.
Hilarious.
One of the best stand-ups ever. If you've never seen him do stand-up comedy... Your life is not complete.
Yeah.
And one of the best guys you're ever going to meet.
No, I'm not so fond of him. but he will be out at the Tivoli. Mark DeCarlo's coming in from Hollywood to join us.
Wow.
That's cool.
Let's see, who else do we have? We've got Bigfoot. Bigfoot will be there. Bigfoot.
That's pretty cool.
John DeCoss on stage.
Oh, that's who I thought you were talking about when you said Bigfoot.
No. Tim Benker. All at the Tivoli. New Year's Eve for people that can't stay awake until midnight. 7 o'clock, New Year's Eve. Get your tickets. Oh, great Christmas idea, Steve. Get your tickets now for people that don't have them. Great gift idea.
Way too much comedy for one room.
You're going to have so much fun, it'll hurt.
Speaking of comedy, I am in a message with Joe Romano and Pete McMurray about booking you on your own show.
How's it look?
Well, I said Cochran would like to be booked on the show Wednesday to promote his New Year's Eve show.
And I'll bring John DeCoss and Tim Benker with me.
Pete McMurray said, who?
Hey, are you coming in studio or will it be
on the phone? Come in studio.
Oh, you want to come in studio? Okay. Yeah. So he said he's looking at the grid and he'll let you know some openings. So you would like to do it earlier?
He has a grid?
Yeah.
A show grid,
7:40
work for you?
Yeah, 7:40 would be fine. Yeah. All right. So thanks. I appreciate that. It's a big break for me to be booked on this show.
Yep. There you go.
So anyway, that's New Year's Eve. Thank you, American Weathermakers, and I hope everybody can come out. Go to Dean. Here's what you do. You go to eventbrite.com and you search Steve Cochran. You get your tickets right there.
It's event, B-R-I-T-E,
That's exactly right.
Because I was on there yesterday spelling it the other way, and I wasn't getting anywhere.
No. Terrible mistake on your part.
I got some icky photos.
It's not right. It's not right at all. Speaking of blatant plugs... Last night, I'm watching a Carson rerun on Antenna TV, a fine Tribune Media production. Mm-hmm. And I love the Carson reruns. And suddenly Dean pops up on my TV. I'm not bothering anybody. What? I'm not hurting anybody. Dean pops up on my TV and the old set of Family Classics.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they were promoting it.
Promotional announcement.
They were promoting that we're going to be rerunning the Family Classics from the original set.
Yeah.
It's going to be on Christmas Eve from 3 to 7 p.m. On Christmas Eve. But just before that is our annual play of Bozo Gar and Ray, WGN-TV Classics. So you get like 5 straight hours of me on Christmas Eve. This is just so you appreciate your family a little more. You put up with me for 5 hours. Suddenly your family looks a whole lot better.
It's like a Christmas story. Remember how it just used to keep repeating? This is such a better alternative.
A Dean loop.
Yeah, scary. So Bozo Gar and Ray, WGN-TV Classics 1 to 3, and then Family Classics immediately following at 3 o'clock. On the original set, it's a little holiday present.
Hey, by the way, a couple of helpful texters chiming in with important questions. 847, will Uncle Dean be poisoning his family for Christmas, or is that just a Thanksgiving tradition?
That's just going to be a Thanksgiving tradition.
312, will Dean be poisoning his family again on Christmas?
Wait a minute. I didn't know it was so easy to start a holiday tradition.
Yeah.
So you poison a few people, okay, everyone. One holiday, and suddenly it sticks with you, and you can't shake it off.
For people that are confused, at Thanksgiving, it wasn't cooking. Dean actually fed strychnine to all of his relatives.
Arsenic and old lace.
A little more
family classic.
I thought you're supposed to baste the turkey with turpentine.
Everybody, did everybody survive?
Yeah, everybody was fine.
See, they're fine, Dean.
Was anybody hospitalized?
No.
Well, then they ought to walk it off.
No, they just, there was some minor digestion issues.
From one of the better cooks you'll ever know, by the way.
I'm just sorry that I didn't invest in Imodium or Pepto-Bismol ahead of time, because there was a lot of it consumed in my family right after Thanksgiving.
All right, when we come back, only in show business could you have these three in the same sentence. Chance the Rapper, Meryl Streep, and Khloe Kardashian.
Wow.
And Dean has details on all of them coming up. First, here's Mary.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Back to Channel 9, another helpful texter, Dean, in regards to you poisoning your family.
Yep.
847, can my in-laws go to Dean's?
That's funny.
That's nice. Steve, we have some entertainment breaking news.
Oh, what do you have?
You know how there have been so many retirements in Chicago, on the broadcast scene here in Chicago, Mark Sapelsa retired.
Thank God he left.
And just yesterday, RobertFeeder.com had the Jerry Taft from Channel 7 is retiring. Our own Jim Ramsey has announced that he's retiring. Steve Baskerville.
Mm-hmm. You know, we ought to get Jerry Taft for retirement a clicker, because he could never find it. Just get him a clicker.
Just a nice one for his retirement.
Yeah, the map clicker.
Wear around his neck that you can also push a button on in case you fall down.
Well, who else retired?
Well, I might be.
Oh, is that right?
I might be. And here's why I'm saying that. Because I just got a movie trailer for the sequel to the movie that maybe I hated more than any other movie, Mamma Mia. They're making a sequel.
Oh,
Dean, if they remove Pierce Brosnan from the movie.
You know what?
He's in it.
Oh, I was going to say, would that sway you a little?
He's in it.
I love the Mamma Mia.
See, because Mamma Mia was awesome, but Pierce Brosnan just ruined it.
Mamma Mia was awesome.
It was good.
The movie version was horrible.
It was horrible.
It wasn't great, but
I'm just sad they couldn't find anybody who could sing to be in that movie. But Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again is going to come out in July.
You know what? It all depends on the inflection. Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Didn't they do all the ABBA songs already?
Well, apparently this is going to be a prequel. This is going to be
hot. Oh, good God.
And Meryl Streep's in it, and Christine Baranski, and all the rest. And Cher, which,
how do you do a prequel when everybody's old?
Also have young actors playing all the older.
Oh, okay.
They'll do like when the mom and her friends all met, like Meryl Streep, Christine Baranski, I bet.
That's great.
I've told this story many times.
Pins and needles.
The day that Roy Leonard retired, he finished his last show, and I was coming on right after him. And, we hugged, and You know, he said, you know, you're going to do a great job, but, you know, and he goes, I'm so happy I don't have to see all the crap that you have to go see. Literally. Those were literally his words to me. And this here is what he meant. This is what he meant, that there's another Mamma Mia movie
coming. When you go into a screening and you know it's going to suck, not just prejudge it, you just know. You just know it's going to suck. How do you give it a fair read?
Well, I try to be objective about it. There were actually a couple of movies this week. There's seven movies that I'm going to be reviewing tomorrow.
Wow.
Because there's a ton of movies
get
opening
you on at
tomorrow and also Christmas Day.
Right.
And I thought really some of them were going to be awful, and they turned out not to be so bad. So I do try to go in with an open mind. But I don't know about this Mamma Mia sequel. This may cause me to...
To get out of the business.
To quit.
Yeah, I may quit.
Get out of the business.
I may quit so I don't have to see this.
Mamma Mia.
Uh-oh.
Here I go again. Lord. My, how can I resist ya? Mamma Mia. Does it show again? My, just...
Is that Judy Pilot? Who is that?
Dreep, is it?
Losing today we parted.
I don't think that's Meryl. That doesn't sound like Meryl Streep.
It is Meryl
Streep.
Oh,
that's the daughter, isn't it?
No, it's Meryl Streep.
No, that is the other actress, not Christine Baranski.
Yeah, find a little Pierce Brosnan. You want a little
morning
wake-up song.
You know all four letters of ABBA sued all the people in the movie? As they should have. A, B, B, and A. They all sued. All right, Meryl Streep's getting protested.
Speaking of Meryl Streep, you know, she has said repeatedly that she did not know that Harvey Weinstein was a sexual predator along mm-hmm. the way. Rose McGowan, most notably, who is one of the Weinstein accusers, says that Meryl Streep did know and that she should have spoken up to protect actresses of lesser stature than her. And Meryl Streep has said, you know, I did not know. I sympathize with what you're saying. I did not know. So yesterday, some group, they don't even really know who, goes all over Hollywood posting these posters of Meryl Streep outside of the Fox studios, outside of Meryl Streep's home, around Hollywood, of a picture of Meryl Streep and Harvey Weinstein. And there are plenty of pictures of Harvey Weinstein with all the A-listers through the years, with a red strip over Meryl Streep's mouth. You know, claiming that she's purposely has kept quiet on this.
You know, you can know that Harvey Weinstein was a horrible person, and he really was, and is, and a jerk, without knowing he's a sexual criminal. I mean, I don't think she, you know, she could. I don't feel like she's lying about that.
Well, if a person says I didn't know,
yeah,
then the person says I didn't know. If you have some compelling evidence that says that she did, bring it forward. Don't just put posters up all over Hollywood because you want to disparage somebody because you have a different opinion.
Right.
You have no basis in fact whatsoever. But you've now decided that you want to attack Meryl Streep because you don't believe her. That's
unfair.
What's happened to, you know, like, what's happened to facts? What happens to happen to... you know, having some proof before you accuse somebody.
Plus, it's Meryl Streep. I think, don't you both think that she would own it and say, hey, you know
Absolutely.
What? I should have come forward sooner.
Absolutely.
She's got an impeccable reputation.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Khloe Kardashian, you know how much I worry about the Kardashians. She okay?
She is okay, Stephen. Just yesterday, she finally publicly confirmed that she is pregnant.
Oh, thank God.
The way anybody would.
Thank God, another Kardashian.
Is by putting a photograph of your baby bump mm-hmm. on Instagram.
That's what I did.
She has a picture of her baby bump with her hands on the bump and then the hands of her boyfriend, NBA player Tristan Thompson, with the caption, "My greatest dream realized, we are having a baby."
Yep. Well, who's the father? Do we know?
It's Tristan Thompson.
I guess she said that in a previous sentence.
That was 10, 15 seconds ago.
Well, you know me. I've got ADD.
You have short attention.
And Chance the Rapper?
Was at the Field Museum last night. He took over the Field Museum last night for his charity organization, Social Works. This is the organization that we partnered with our WGN drive-through toy drive.
Yep.
And they passed out toys that were donated last night. They just had a big party for kids and their families who might not otherwise get to go to the Field Museum and see everything at the Field Museum. It was terrific, and the place went wild when Chance went up to the microphone and said a few words.
All I can say to you guys is thank you so much for supporting not only me, but my endeavors, my efforts to work on making this city better and making the world better. I can't do any of this without you guys, so thank you guys for continuing to show up, for having big hearts, and for caring.
Chance the Rapper is 24 years old.
Yeah, and the longer he's around and the more things he does, man, I just hope there's no potholes here, because this kid is so impressive.
He is so impressive, and his organization is so well run. It's just nothing. The more and more that we've worked with them, the more and more impressed I am. So, you know, if anyone's got a heart of gold, it's him. His new album dropped yesterday. Is that what the kids are still calling it?
Oh, I thought the album was called Dropped.
Album. No, it was released. It was didn't actually fall on the floor. It was actually released. It's his holiday album. But I got to warn you,
Chance does Christmas.
There are some songs. I was listening to it. Like, I came home from this event last night at the Field Museum feeling all chancy. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. I was like, had such a nice warm feeling. And I downloaded the album and I was listening to it. And there's some naughty words in there. There's some things in there that aren't exactly super Christmassy.
There's one, what do you mean I need a receipt? That's one of them.
My gift card expired.
Yeah. They're all in there. All right, let's go out with some Pierce Brosnan from the original Mamma Mia.
Where are those happy days? They seem so hard to find.
I'm retiring right now. I'm quitting right now.
But you have closed your mind. Whatever happened to our love? I wish I understood.
What key is that?
It used to be so
off.
Nice. It used to be so good. So when you're near me, darling, can't you hear me? Yes, so
did you, in the interviews that you did for this movie, did you ever bring up the fact that somebody could have sang
that
for
he sucks? Hi, Pierce. Nice to see you. Hey, by the way, you're singing? It sucks.
Somebody, why didn't they have the thing where somebody sings for him?
I don't know why they did not dub him in. I didn't bring it up when I interviewed him. You know, we did the interviews for the movie.
Yeah.
And if anyone should have gotten an Academy Award that year, it was me for,
for having to watch
doing
it.
Those interviews and not telling them right to their faces how bad the movie was. But in the next time that I interviewed Pierce Brosnan, it was like a drama, some serious drama. I asked him why they didn't put any singing scenes in it. And he started laughing. He said, "Did you see Mamma Mia?"
Oh, that's good.
So he acknowledges himself. I'm not tearing him a new one without. He does it himself. He knows he can't sing.
All right. See you tomorrow. Bye. That's Dean. And we'll come back. An international Merry Christmas greeting from Paul Coit, live from London, coming up. Big story next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
As you know, whenever the Queen enters a room, the Benny Hill theme plays. Snappy, isn't it? I wanted to place an international phone call to my international friend, Paul Coit, to wish him an international Merry Christmas. I love Paul, love his family. We've been to the best of friends for, I don't know, could be 25 years, right? 30 years? How long has it been?
It's 25, 30 years, something like that. A very best of international Happy Christmases to you as well, my friend.
And you're there just outside of London, where I believe the snow is falling, and people
The snow is falling. In fact, what we look like at the moment, because it's always a few days before Christmas, that we do turn into a Perry Como Christmas special. Right. So we all wear very high hats and capes, and there's lots of fog, and we have bulldogs.
Right, and you slowly saunter down the street singing Christmas songs.
Holding up those really high lanterns, you know, they're really difficult, because what you do, you have to light them and then you hold them high on a stick. I really don't know why we have to hold them high on a stick, but that's what we do. That's the proper Victorian Perry Como Christmas way.
Do you know, most of our Christmas traditions, as so much of our life, comes from the mother country, from the UK, including the Nutcracker.
Yeah.
And Paul was the original Nutcracker.
I was. I've been nutcracking for years now. I'm not doing it as well as I used to because I'm getting on a bit, but I can still crack my nuts with the best of them, quite frankly.
At what age does a British boy get his first nutcracker?
Usually, actually, you know, the strange thing is this with social media, it's getting quite young, so we're probably looking at about 7 or 8 years old now.
Oh, then your son already has a nutcracker.
He already has his nutcracker.
Did you pass down your grandfather and father's nutcracker?
Well, unfortunately, it's not in a good way, the old nutcracker. So I did invest in a new one, but they don't make them like they used to, Steve. I've got to tell you. They don't crack nuts like they used to.
No.
In fact, they don't make nuts like they used to either.
I can't argue with that.
Do you have a bowl of nuts at Christmas? Do you do the nutcracker?
Holiday nuts?
Holiday nuts.
Yes.
Yeah. We used to do that at my mom's house because there were all kinds of nuts.
Yeah.
Not just in the family, in the bowl.
Yeah.
There was like the walnuts.
But you're talking mostly about your relatives.
About my family, yeah. Yes. The walnuts, the almonds.
On your show, but can I ask, what nuts do you particularly partake in? A Brazil nut, a hazelnut, and a
I like a cashew.
I like the walnuts.
A cashew.
The walnuts are easiest to crack.
Yeah, but what do you like to eat?
So, but don't almonds. They break up a little bit? Don't they? You don't get a whole full nut. You have to be very, very careful with your nutcracker. And if you've got an old nutcracker, then you're going to just end up with mesolabia.
Well, if you're going to have an almond, I say surround it with chocolate.
Yes.
You know what
exactly.
I'm saying?
Exactly. Yes. But then you've got no shell on your almond. You're using a fake chocolate shell.
Right.
That's a good twist on what you're doing. But I like what you're doing. I like where you're coming from on that.
Let's talk about one other thing that we got from the Brits, and that's ugly Christmas sweaters. But, Paul, what is a sweater called there in London? And
a jumper.
A jumper. A Christmas jumper.
Yeah. See, for us, it's like at the Olympic Games, that's when we start getting confused. A jumper, we would start thinking of a sweater, whereas us, we're thinking of a sweater, we're thinking of someone that's very hot.
Yes.
So, obviously, when you get the jumper sweater thing, it's usually at summer sports is when we start getting confused. But for now, you know, I think we know where we're coming from.
And, you know, my sister Leslie married a fine Irishman, Ian Martin, and he introduced me to the holiday crackers.
Oh, those things that you pull, right?
Yes.
And then they pop.
You pull them apart, they pop, and
like
a silly prize pops out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a joke. There's always a joke, a very bad joke, a paper hat, and a little, it's just piece of rubbish, quite frankly, that passes as a toy. But this is absolutely true. I mean, this is as ridiculous as this is. Health and safety, I don't know where it's probably going as crazy in your country as it is here. I went, me and my son, with his first nutcracker, we went into a shop to buy some crackers, and it actually had a 12 warning on the back, because it makes a little bang. So you can't be under 12 to buy crackers.
It's ridiculous.
And that is, quite frankly,
it's
crackers.
Ridiculous.
It is.
How are you supposed to get injured and learn?
I don't know. You know, not like the old days where you can just buy fireworks just for fun. You can't do that anymore.
And then the final British tradition, of course, would be the Queen's Speech, not just an American movie. The Queen's Speech is the annual holiday address, and I assume this year will be mostly about how disappointed she is in Meghan Markle as a choice for Harry.
Well, I think what she's going to do is, firstly, I should say, someone asked me this the other day and said, listen, have you ever watched the Queen's Speech? And I said, well, actually, you know, I'm usually eating at the time. And most people, you know, we've got to see the Queen's Speech. It's just tradition. I don't think anybody watches it. And she records it about 3 weeks ago. Last year, when we were watching it, or I actually did watch it, it was like summertime. You could see. It was like some people walking past in bikinis. It was ridiculous.
You've got to,
you know, just Christmassy it up a little bit. And then she'll come out with something. And then she'll probably just talk about Meghan and maybe raise an eyebrow. But, you know, just as she does. In a very sort of distinct queenly fashion.
Well, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, my good friend Paul Coy. What will you and your lovely family be doing?
We'll be pulling crackers, wearing Christmas jumpers.
And cracking nuts.
Eating Christmas pudding with coins in, which you've got to be careful of.
Is that figgy pudding?
Sorry?
Is it called figgy pudding?
I think it is. Now, that's like what they do in the song. But they call it Christmas pudding. I've got to tell you, some people like it. It's disgusting. It's just this burnt mess. It's awful.
Figgy pudding was a British punk star in the late 70s. Remember that?
Yeah.
I do remember that.
You made me cough.
But the children and the missus, you'll be all snuggled in your beds early on Christmas Eve.
Absolutely. And I'll dare myself to watch It's a Wonderful Life on Christmas Eve and then spend the whole of the rest day crying ridiculously, wishing I hadn't done it.
Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas to you and Happy New Year. Thanks for the time.
There you go. That's my friend Paul Coit.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Isn't he the best?
He is the best.
Yeah, he's the best. Speaking of the best, the Vernon Hills High School Choir is here.
I know, and they look great, too. They're dressed like
fabulous.
Little elves.
Yeah, they're all scarfed and hatted up. They're going to sing, I don't know, 50 or 60 songs because I'm out. Just going to run out and grab some breakfast while they take the show over next on 720 WGN. Mary, boss of the Vernon Hills Choir, identify yourself.
My name is Jeremy Little.
Nice to see you again.
Thank you for having us.
We loved having you guys in last year.
Yeah, thank you. We were delighted to be here.
And we're about to see if all the good, talented seniors graduated. All right, you got one for us here.
Thanks for that intro. That was helpful.
No, I love these guys. Whenever you're ready.
All right. This is Caroling, Caroling by Alfred Burt.
Caroling, caroling, now we go. Christmas bells are ringing. Caroling, caroling through the snow. Christmas bells are ringing. Joyous voices, sweet and clear. Sing the sad of heart to cheer. Ding dong, ding dong. Christmas bells are ringing. Caroling, caroling through the town. Christmas bells are ringing. Caroling, caroling up and down. Christmas bells are ringing. Mark ye well the song we sing. Gladsome tidings now we bring. Ding dong, ding dong. Christmas bells are ringing. Caroling, caroling near and far. Christmas bells are ringing. Following, following yonder star, Christmas bells are ringing. Sing we all this happy morn, lo, the King of Heaven is born. Ding dong, ding dong, Christmas bells are ringing.
How about that?
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful?
Let's go with the coveted sitting ovation right out of the gate.
Right?
It's very nice. You know what? We're so late now, let's get in trouble. You got another one? Let's do another one right here. What are you going to do?
Sure. This next tune is called Bring a Torch, Jeanette Isabella. It's one of three tunes that we commissioned our friend Paul Langford, who is a nationally known composer and arranger, to do. And
so this is original.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a French carol that he arranged in like a jazz way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
Bring a torch, Jeanette Isabella. Bring a torch, come hurry and run. It is Jesus, good folk of the village. Christ is born and Mary's calling. Ah, ah, beautiful is the mother. Ah, ah, beautiful is the child.
Skies are glowing, the heavens are cloudless. Rise the path to the manger bed. Hasten all who would see little Jesus shining bright as yonder star. Ah, ah,
beautiful is the mother. Ah, ah, beautiful is the child.
Da, 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 da. Torch, come hurry and run. It is Jesus, good folk of the village. Christ is born and Mary's calling. Ah, ah, beautiful is the mother. Ah, ah, beautiful is the child.
Wow, that is ridiculous. That is so good.
I might even stand.
Thank you, Dave. And what are you doing, Dave Schwann, for Christmas?
I will be here Christmas Eve, and then I'm going out to my dad's new place on Christmas Day. So we're going to have Christmas Day at his new living quarters.
How's he doing?
He's doing fine. He moved into an independent living facility just a couple of weeks ago. And as you know, moves are always a hassle, and you find things you forgot about completely. So.
Sure.
And he texted me and said he's having a little pre-party, Dave. I don't know if
you're coming to
that. Yeah,
he already did.
The pre-party, the festivities are going to get underway before you guys all get there.
Is he hitting on you?
No, I think there's a whole bunch. You're on that list, too.
No, am I?
We're all going to be pre-partying with Dave's dad.
A wild there.
A little bit.
Sounds great.
All right, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
See you tomorrow.
The Vernon Hills High School Choir is here. Is there a specific name other than that I should address you with?
They're the Chamber Choir.
The Chamber Choir. Yeah. My apologies. where have they been performing?
We performed all over the community and at some retirement homes and local businesses, elementary schools, and here on the air.
How many people?
We have 25 total.
Okay, and it's a big deal to take an arrangement like the last one and get it together and make them sound so fabulous. How long does that take from start to finish?
Well, we start working, we have about 25 tunes that we sing, and we start working in August, and they sing them all memorized and in mixed formation, and there's foreign language ones. And
is that right?
Yeah, yeah. So they work very hard. We take a retreat to Wisconsin and go have fun and learn a lot of these, and they're the top kids in the school for singing and generally for everything else, I think, too.
I said your two sopranos sounded two sopranos sounded like angels.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, they really are tremendous. Very, very impressive. You can do a few more here in a second, but when you see these kids, especially the freshmen and the sophomores, who want to get to the front, do you see folks that you go, wow, I'm blown away by this youngster, mm-hmm. and they're going to have to step up right now?
Yeah, yeah. We have four sophomores in the group, and they are phenomenal, and it's hard to make it as a sophomore, and they have done it. We're a small school. I think we're only like 1,250, 1,300 students, mm-hmm. but we have a lot of talent and a lot of really hard-working folks.
Well, I love Vernon Hills. You know, it's beautiful. You guys, by the way, better be nice to the sophomores. Is there a little hazing going on when you're not looking?
not that you know of.
Not that you know of.
Yeah.
All right, what are you going to do next?
All right, this next tune is another one of the carols by Paul Langford. A beautiful Gustav Holst, the composer, wrote the tune, and Christina Rossetti, the American poet, had the text. It's called In the Bleak Midwinter.
Once again, the Vernon Hills Chamber Choir.
Beloved, we come.
Just tremendous. Oh. Just amazing. Wow. And if you would, please identify your soloist there.
That was Jillian Bowes.
Hi. Jillian, beautiful job.
Jillian Bowes.
Yeah, really, really.
Gorgeous.
Really.
Thank you.
I don't know how you do that.
Another voice of an angel.
Andy Mazur's here for Dave. Were you in choir in school?
Never.
Can you sing now?
I can't sing then.
Then or now.
Or now.
Yeah. What about in the shower? In your car?
The car, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come to Vernon Hills. We can teach you.
Yeah. I have no audience in the car. That's an easy one.
Patrick Kane's going to join us in about 20 minutes. We're going to ask you guys to stay, and we'll ask Kaner. Oh, it's next. I'm sorry. Patrick Kaner's going to join us next. We're going to ask you guys to stay, obviously. And we would like Kaner to tell us his favorite Christmas song and then see if you guys can sing to Patrick Kane.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Awesome. Kaner joins us next, and then more with the Vernon Hills Chamber Choir. 720 WGN and CLTV.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Special guest on Breakfast with a Blackhawk, Patrick Kane. You might have heard of him. He's had some success.
A little bit.
And been killing it lately in particular. Good morning, Kaner.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah. It's been nothing but good lately. Did you change anything? Switch up the breakfast? What are you doing?
Yeah, I think you make certain adjustments as time goes on throughout the season. You know, sometimes the things you've done in the past don't really continue to work as well, so you got to switch
up.
Well,
I can say that again.
But, I think, we've been rolling a little bit as of late. You know, we've won 5 in a row, so a couple of big games here before the Christmas break. Hopefully we can get some more points and, feel good about where we're at.
I don't know if we've talked about this on the air or off the air. I'm going to get Andy Mazur in here as well. But everybody in sports talks about getting in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in baseball, the ball looks bigger and the game slows down. Golf, the hole looks bigger. Basketball, the basket looks bigger. Does the puck look bigger right now? Is the game getting slower? I mean, when you get in a zone like that, like you were, you know, last season and 2 seasons ago for sure, does it change?
I think what starts to happen is you start to find the puck actually starts to find you a little bit more instead of actually always
puck luck.
Trying to work so hard for it or work hard to get it back. You know, it seems like the game just kind of starts to flow a little bit more, and then you find yourself in areas that maybe the puck wasn't coming to you earlier in the season, and then it comes to you and you got a good chance to score, a good chance to make a play. So sometimes it is about that puck luck.
You know, this road trip in particular, it's not like the circus trip because it's going to be broken up by the Christmas holiday, but you guys really thrived as a group on those kind of trips. What is it about those trips? Is it just getting away and kind of being with each other and getting to know each other a little better?
Yeah, I think they've been great trips for us in the past. I mean, they've really kind of propelled our season where we've had those trips, 6-7-game trips, and all of a sudden, you know, we have a great record and kind of take off from there. So I think we got 6 in a row here on the road. Two to start, then the Christmas break, and then we'll have a little Western trip, and then finish up in New York. So, kind of a different type of trip, but I think it's like you said, it's good for us to get on the road, kind of hang out with each other. I think it's going to be a long trip, so you just kind of take it day by day, and it always helps when you're winning too, have a little bit more fun.
And New Year's Eve in Calgary, just like you always dreamed.
Well, We've always been on the circus trip for my birthday, and this year was the first time. My birthday is November 19th. This is the first time I was really at home for my birthday.
How about that?
And I feel like I always spend my birthday in Calgary or Edmonton. So
yeah.
I guess I had to trade my birthday for New Year's this year.
Yeah, and honestly, at your age, you probably can't make it till midnight now anyway. You're probably dozing off.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even make it to my birthday anymore. Like
you're one of the old guys on the team.
Yeah, I'm getting old, Steve.
I know you are. Believe me, I know. We got the Vernon Hills Chamber Choir here. They're all big Patrick Kane fans. Who had the plate with Kaner's number on it?
That's me.
What's your name, dude?
Kyle.
Kyle's got a license plate, personalized Patrick Kane plate. And all these
probably think it's me or something.
That's right. So drive safely. And Jenny Williams is here. Jenny, say hi to Patrick Kane.
Hi, you're my favorite player.
Okay, hi, Jenny. How you doing?
I know, Jenny. Jenny, pull it together now. Come on.
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm good. Are you guys having fun?
Yes.
Now, do you have any deeper questions than how are you?
Yes. Okay.
All right. What's your question?
What's your proudest moment as a Blackhawk?
Nice. That's nice. That's very good, Jenny. What is your proudest moment, Gator?
I don't know. That's a good question.
That's much better than the stuff I usually ask him. Well done by you, Jenny.
Yeah. Jenny sounds excited to be on your show, Steve.
I think it had nothing to do with you, I'm sure.
I think it has to be probably scoring the overtime winning goal there in 2010.
Yeah, how about that?
Helping us win our first cup there and first in 49 years for the Blackhawks. So
that was an amazing
moment.
That
was pretty special.
Yeah, it was something else. By the way, did we ever find out where that puck ended up?
No, I don't think we did. I mean, there's some rumors out there, but I don't think we found it. So we'll have to. You guys got to help us. We got to get on the hunt.
Yeah, there you go.
Jenny will find it.
And, I will.
And Kana, we're going to have the chamber choir come over and shovel your driveway out if it snows too hard because they're big fans. All right, Jenny, say goodbye to your friend Patrick Kane.
Thank you so much. Goodbye. Have a great day.
Okay.
Bye,
you too.
Patrick.
We got one more here, Kaner. MB Financial Bank question from a listener, Mark Elias. What's the best amenity in the locker room that nobody knows about for the players? I know you guys eat good.
I think the biggest thing is probably the new shooting areas and stick handling areas they put up top for us there besides the gym. You find a lot of guys in there before and after practice just kind of working on their shot. Pretty cool machine. It passes the pucks, and then you know the corner lights up to where you have to shoot it, and you got to pick that corner. So we've been having fun with it as teammates and like competitors and competing with each other. So that was a good addition to the locker room.
Yeah, it's the rapid shot, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, at the MB Ice Arena, we were over there doing a show a couple of weeks ago. Went upstairs to. Well, it looks like the largest gym on the planet. It's got to be a football field and a half long. And that whole MB Ice Arena is fantastic. Oh, a
couple of hot tubs, too. Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful facility.
Yeah. By the way, talking about that kind of shot, before we let you go, what's the coolest trick shot you ever pulled off in practice? Because I know you guys have competitions with that sometime.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, to be honest with you, I don't know if we practice trick shots too much, but I think everyone tries to get creative in their own way, whether we do like a shootout after practice or kind of messing around after practice. I was always kind of working on this one play. I thought maybe I'd be able to try it one day in a game where I kind of have the puck behind the net and I can, you know, flip the puck over the net to myself and it's not landing yet, but it's still in the air and I kind of
smack it in.
It out of the air. So,
cool would that be? Oh,
I'd probably get run over if I tried it, but maybe one day if we have the time and space, right, Steve?
Yeah, no kidding. Listen, I'll go out and take the hit for you. we'll just run a little pick play. Hey, enjoy this trip, man. You guys have really, really started to hit your groove here, and there's no reason for it to stop now. And Merry Christmas, my best to your whole family.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Thanks for having me on, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, and I'll tell Jenny all the best, too.
Exactly.
Well, there you go. All right, there you go. There you go. It's Patrick Kane. It's Patrick Kane. That's Jenny Williams' new best friend, Patrick Kane.
I think we're supposed to make sure that the kids all leave in one piece, you know, collected, calm, kind of the way they came in. I don't think that's going to happen.
That's out the window.
Did you hear Kaner subtly mocking me? Where she goes, it sounds like Jenny's excited to be on your show.
Yeah.
That's
why she was excited.
More from the Vernon Hills Chamber Choir. And the big story coming up next, talking about?
Tax reform, but it's very, very, very good for a local company.
All right. Well, that's okay. We'll take that. And Patrick Kane on the Breakfast of the Blackhawks, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business. We're back after this. Before we go any further, and Jeremy, I forgot to ask Patrick Kane what his favorite Christmas song is. So the next song you guys sing, we're going to pretend was his favorite Christmas
song.
We'll
take requests.
What'll be the next one?
It's called The Holly and the Ivy. Actually, we should have done it when your British friend was
singing. But, you know, Kaner always talked about The Holly and the Ivy. You remember that?
He still does.
He loves it so much. Well, it's, you know, black or green and red. They got those green
sure.
and red jerseys.
Absolutely. We'll get to that in just a second. I asked Mike Jacobson to join us here because, you know, I buy all you guys a little something to say thank you for the year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can open it whenever you want, but I insisted that Jake open his. Now, you don't know this, but a couple of days ago when we were doing our Secret Santa thing, you kind of stepped on, squashed, and ruined my gift for Mike.
Yeah, I didn't, but I didn't know what you would get.
No, no, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's okay. not your fault.
Mike, but it wasn't really me. Well, I'll take the fall for Audrey because I like her. She's awesome.
So Mike wears the same ratty Sox hat, which you have had for how long?
I'd say 4 or 5 years, probably.
Right, but it's the one you wear over and over and over and over again.
It's comfortable.
So I'm doing some shopping.
Maybe a little stinky, kids, but I wash it.
So I'm minding my own business. I walk by Lids, and, you know, I hang out at Lids because I got that kind of game.
Your street.
And I go into Lids, and I bought every Sox logoed hat in the place.
Yeah.
I can only find, I think, 4 or 5 different ones. I got him every Sox logoed hat.
Cool.
And I thought, this is great. He can rotate them up. This will be great.
Yeah.
And then what happened, we did the Secret Santa, and you had to do a gift, and Audrey told you the one thing, Audrey is Mike's girlfriend.
Yes.
The one thing you don't get him is what?
Well, because I thought I had a similar idea. I thought, oh, maybe a new White Sox cap. Because and you know,
but his girlfriend Audrey forbade it.
She just she didn't
She said, "Don't do it."
She said, "No, I'd rather." She was so nice about it too. She said, "I'd rather you not do that."
Audrey never called me.
Well, yeah. there
but she gave me another suggestion.
There is something behind that though, because she doesn't like when I wear a hat because she says I should do my hair more.
Oh, see, that's the only reason, Steve. She doesn't care
that.
What he does at work.
I
see,
get
kids,
that.
Let me tell you a lesson here.
And I get that a lot, too. I should do my hair more.
When you fall in love.
When you, well, no, this is more about when you get to work at 4 a.m., you really don't feel like doing your hair very often.
Or so wearing adult clothes.
No, no. That is the biggest benefit of working in radio. Yeah. Mark, yeah. Write that down.
So I got you a bonus golf shirt as a backup gift.
And it's a great golf shirt. Is this from White Eagle?
Yes, it is. It's the White
Eagle.
It's
very nice. It's I'm colorblind, but I'm going to guess this is purple.
It's a lavender, I believe, is in the wheel. It's in your wheel. Remember we did your colors?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So,
but no, I got 4 different Sox hats here, and they're all great. 3 navy and 1 black.
Yeah, and feel free to sell those and keep the cash.
those are cool, though. They're throwback.
And they're adjustable, too, because he did not know my head size. So that's a smart hat wear.
Right.
Yeah.
So for
that
work,
knows what he's doing.
For work, it's totally fine. Just for weddings, it's not.
Well, and with a guy with a melon my size, you know, you don't mess around trying to figure out a guy's hat size. No. That's what I'm saying.
I really, but thank you very much.
Merry Christmas.
It's a very, very nice gift. Did you talk about what me and Mary gave you on the air yet?
No.
For your Christmas gift?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know that I did. They're called grippers.
Yes,
they're called grippers. It was a Shark Tank product, and there are these rubberized. How would you describe them? They're like rubberized discs.
They're like hot pads.
They're like hot pads.
Like pot holders.
Frisbees.
Oh.
And you can use them to grab hot stuff. You can also use them to, you know, uncrank a jar.
Okay.
Or you could whip them at a friend.
Okay, there you go.
Neighbor. Yeah.
Andy Mazur got the brunt of that.
Excuse me, people. I also got them for my husband.
Oh, yeah.
And we weren't supposed to talk about them on the air.
Oh, didn't know that.
That's okay. He's in a spin class right now, so he's not listening. So anyone listening, if they don't tell my husband.
Is it a dorky spin class since you identified your husband as a dork yesterday?
Yes, it is a dorky.
Okay.
Usually he likes to do the teen spins at 4:15, but he has a Hawks game tonight, so he...
He likes to hang out with the teens?
No, he likes their music better. They play the pop music.
Oh.
That's what he likes.
Oh, yeah. That's cute.
Sounds like a big day in the Boyle house, huh?
Yeah.
You know, at Pat's age, you might want to tell him he's not fooling anybody.
And the reason why he wanted those grippers is because you can lay it in the microwave and put your soup on top of it, and then you can pick it up under the gripper and use that as the placemat on your lap so the hot bowl doesn't burn your lap because he likes to eat soup in front of the TV.
I still feel that's dangerous, soup. Though. That's
but
a very dangerous. Yeah.
The rumors are true. Those two are wild.
Yeah. Soup, spin,
what a crazy night at the Boyle house. Wow. All right, let's get back to the music here. Jeremy Little is here and the Vernon Hills Chamber Choir. What are you going to do next?
This next one is called The Holly and the Ivy.
Patrick Kane insisted on it?
Yeah, you know, straight from Kaner's mouth.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
La 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 la. The holly and the ivy, when they are both full grown, of all the
the trees that are in the woods, the holly bears the crown. The rising of the sun and the running of the deer, the playing of the merry organs with singing in the choir. Bears a blossom as white as a lily flower, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ, who will be our sweet Savior.
Ooh, the holly bears a prickle as sharp as any thorn, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ on Christmas Day in the morn. The rising of the sun and the running of the deer, the playing of the merry organ, sweet singing in the choir. La 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 la. The holly bears a bark as bitter as any gall, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ for to redeem us all, for to redeem us all. The rising of the sun, the running of the deer, the playing, the merry organ, sweet singing in the choir. La 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 la. The holly and the ivy, when they are both full grown, of all the trees that are in the woods, the holly bears the crown. The rising of the sun and the running of the deer, the playing of the merry organs, sweet singing in the choir. La 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 la, sweet singing in the choir. Sweet singing in the choir. Sweet singing.
I don't even get it. I don't know how you do that. I don't get it. I mean, the artistic talent here is just out of this world. It really is tremendous. You should be very proud, Jeremy.
I'm very blessed to work at the school and with these kids.
Yeah, and again, to do it at this hour is crazy. Like Andy, we're just talking about here. Andy Mazur is a tremendous photographer.
Mm-hmm.
So he has an artistic side. He's not just a dopey sports guy.
Right.
He's got an artistic side.
Yeah. I do.
Right? You have television talent. You have all sorts of talent. I just sit here and shoot my mouth off.
No, you have a lot of talents. Golf.
Yeah, golf.
Knowledge. Yeah. Wit. Humor.
Charisma.
I want to be in the band.
You were in a ton of bands.
All right, next song.
The next song is features the gals in the choir. It is called The Virgin Mary Had a Baby Boy. It is a song from the island of Trinidad, and it's a hoot.
You guys, the girls were very excited about this. All right, let's see if they deliver.
They were. Okay. All right, here we go.
The Virgin Mary had a baby boy. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy. And they said that his name was Jesus. When he come from the glory, he come down. He come from the glory.
Baby boy, and they said that his name was Jesus. That's why the angels sang for the baby boy.
The angels sang for the baby boy. You know the angels sang, and they said that his name was Jesus.
That's why the angels sang for his baby boy. The shepherds came and saw the boy. The shepherds saw the boy, and then they said,
was Jesus, the shepherds came and to see him. And all the shepherds came and to see him. The shepherds all living in the Lord. And they said his name was Jesus. The very next thing you want to know, what is this? He come from the glory. He come down. He come from the glorious kingdom. He come from the glory. He come down. He come from the glorious kingdom. Oh yes, believer. Oh yes, believer. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy.
And they said that his name was
Jesus. And they said that his name
was Jesus.
And they said that his name
was
Jesus. And they said that his name Jesus.
Yeah, you were kidding. You were kidding. That was fun.
Awesome.
That was fun. Yes. That's very good. You know you nailed it. I can tell by the smile on your face, Jared. I mean, you feel good about that one.
The melodies are so good. I'm just curious. How do you practice individually and then together? Because everyone's at a different range, and then y'all just put together.
Yeah, small groups.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Because I'd be listening to the person next to me, like, you know.
Well, we do practice in different parts. That was four parts, women. But one of the biggest things that the students need to get in this group is a sense of musical independence, that they can hold their own line and sing against somebody else. So when we test students to get into this group, I sing one part and they sing another part, and then we test to see if they can stay on there, because it's tricky, isn't it?
It's like when Snoop Dogg's in and we have a rap battle.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, so yeah. Similar, right?
It's exactly like that.
That's with spoken word. Yeah,
just like that. It's totally like that. They do all these complicated songs. Wow. The sad thing is they don't know Jingle Bells. One more before you go?
Sure.
All right, hold on. We'll take a break. We're going to tease the audience.
Okay.
And Jeremy is a proud product of Woodstock High School, where our friend Ann Johnsos or Ann Ramos Halls.
And Kristen Samuelson.
And Kristen Samuelson as well. Yeah. But these guys, this is the Vernon Hills Chamber Choir.
Wow.
I am now booking them. And they'll come back and sing one more next before we get to the Bill and Wendy Experience. Hosted by who today? Do we know? Who's doing the show today? John Henson and Judy Pilak. Next. Well, almost in a few minutes on 720 WGN and CLTV. All right, one more with Jeremy before we go. And actually, real quickly, all of you on a count of three, say your names and your grade point average. 1, 2, 3. I really feel like we know them now.
I think so.
Me too.
Yeah. I feel like we're one with the choir.
All right, Jeremy, take us out. What are we going
to
do?
All right, thank you very much for having us.
Oh, and by the way, thanks to Ben. Ben's got to plug everything in, made him sound great. All right.
We're very delighted to be here, and we'll leave you with "We Wish You a Merry Christmas."
I've heard of it. When you're ready.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings to you wherever you are. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. Now bring us some figgy pudding, now bring us some figgy pudding, now bring us some figgy pudding, and bring some right here. Good tidings to you wherever you are. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. We won't go until we've got some, we won't go until we've got some, we won't go until we've got some, so bring some right here. Good tidings to you wherever you are. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.